But as you already heard from Pastor Linda, we planted two churches. And last time we were here last year, I might have mentioned this to people, but for those of you who are new or online, don't you love when God asks you to do something and you have to step out in faith? You know, it's always a challenge, but it was easier for me to come to an altar call and say, God, use me. But then when God actually taps you on the shoulder, who knows what I'm talking about? You go, oh God, I didn't really mean that. You know, could you find someone else? I should have prayed the prayer, here I am, Lord, send him. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Instead, I prayed those prayers, here I am, Lord, send me. And guess what? When we pray prayers, God listens. And God hears our voice and he knows our heart and our desire. And sometimes God will even tap us on the shoulder. It might not be to move to Thailand, but it might be to serve your neighbor. It might be to serve in the church. It might be to do something in your community or your city. So we passed it over in Bangkok, Thailand, a city of 14 million people. And my wife and I moved our two little kids over there to plant the church. And what a privilege it is to serve God in every area of our lives. Whatever it is, we get to serve him and live for him. So I want to share to you kind of along those lines today. And I hope it helps you in your own walk with God and whatever season you find yourself in. On a message called Fully Surrendered. Fully Surrendered. So if you're taking notes online or here in the room, Fully Surrendered. If you want to live a life for God, you can't just surrender to God way back in 1973 or 1996. You need to live a life where you surrender to God on a daily basis. Amen? It's not just a once-off decision, but in our lives, we need to say, God, I want to surrender to you. Who knows that you never graduate from surrendering? You don't. It doesn't matter how old you are, how many times you've been in church, you never graduate from surrendering to God and what he has for your life. And today, I want to share to you from Exodus chapter 3, and you can open in your Bibles to that chapter. And prior to this moment in Scripture, the Israelites are crying out to God for help because they're in slavery. They're in trouble and they need God. So God looked at the Israelites and was concerned about them. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, that he would protect them. He would give them a land if they were to follow him. And Moses is minding his own business out on the mountain of the Lord. He's there minding his own business. And in Exodus 3, verse 3 to 5, it says, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. I'm going to stop you just for 1 second. Who knows that when your name's called twice, you're in trouble? You know, growing up when your mum or dad yelled out your name, does anyone else give me a wave if you know what I'm talking about? Or you guys were always holy and pure as children. When my parents used to yell my name twice, I was like, I would stop and be like, okay, they've got my attention. I knew I was in trouble. And in Scripture, when you see a name mentioned twice, oftentimes God is trying to arrest their attention, trying to stop them. Go, hey. So right here, Moses is called twice. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. He went on to tell Moses that he had heard the cries of the people and he was going to use Moses to lead them out of slavery into the promised land. Who knows that God oftentimes wants to do something in our lives. He wants to do a work, a deep work inside of us. And when God has your life, the rest is easy. When God has your whole life, the rest is easy. You will be willing to lay anything down if God has your whole life, if you are fully surrendered to God. See, when we come to God, many times we come like a wild horse. And you say, thank you, Jesse. I came on a Sunday morning to church and you're calling me a wild horse. I appreciate the encouragement. See, we come to God as a wild horse in the sense that we need to be broken. There's a word that we don't hear often in church, and the word is yielded. to God. We want God on our own terms. We want our walk with God on our own terms. But to follow God and to be fully surrendered, we need to be yielded to God. We need to be broken by God, not in a negative way, in a positive way. That every agenda, every motive would be a motive that says, God, I am yours. Whatever you would have for my life. See, Moses in this scripture, he would have been full of doubt and insecurity. And we hear him later giving reasons why he wasn't the one God could use, that he wasn't qualified. Yet God used him to deliver a nation, and he gave his life to serving God. So today I'm going to give you four very practical points. Is anyone else like me? You just come to the house of God and you're like, I want something that I can, you know, walk away with and be practical and use. So I'm going to give you four simple practical ways that you can live a life fully surrendered to God. Here's the first one. First one is this: listen for the whisper. See, a sign of maturity is a time between God's voice speaking to you and your yes in response. Maturity isn't how many years you've been to church. Maturity is when God speaks to you, how quickly do you respond? It's not how big your Bible is. It's not how good you look in church. It's not the language that you can use. Bless you, brother, sister in the Lord. That doesn't make you mature. It's when God speaks to you, how quickly do you respond to the voice of God? And we do that by listening to the whisper of God. If you want to keep being useful to God in your life, here it's very simple. Keep listening to God and keep obeying him. Keep saying, God, yep, I'm here for you. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to listen to your whisper, and I want to be obedient to what you have for me. Anyone believe that? Amen. See, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, it says, consecrate yourselves. That's your part. That's my part. Consecrate ourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So what do? We consecrate ourselves. We surrender ourselves. And what does God do? God does incredible things amongst the family of God, amongst the city that he is moving in. We need to surrender ourselves afresh. See, when you begin to pursue God, he begins to set you apart. In Exodus 3, Moses says, I must go and see. He saw the burning bush and he said, I've got to get closer to it. And then in verse 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, what did he do? He spoke. See, Moses drew near and then God spoke. It's interesting that God didn't talk until Moses moved. God didn't speak until he had Moses' attention. I've been a pastor for over 20 years and many people say to me, Jesse, I'm waiting on a word from God. I'm like, that's awesome. I've been waiting on many words from God. Anyone else know what I'm talking about? Been waiting on words from God all the time. But I do ask this question. I say, have you moved any closer? Oh, no, I'm just kind of hoping that God will write it in the sky. Does anyone else do that? I'm a bit like that. You're like, God, if you want me to do this, could you just have a plane fly over my house and write it in the sky, make it nice and easy? But who knows, often God doesn't do that to us. God wants us to listen to his whisper. He wants us to draw closer to him. So if you're not hearing from God, I would ask you the question, maybe you need to draw a little closer to God. Maybe you need to spend more time with God. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm going to lean into your voice. I'm going to lean into what you have for me. See, the key is God is a whispering God. Have you ever been in church, not this church, of course, but other churches, where you've met a close talker? Give me a wave if you have friends or family members that are close talkers. So you're in the foyer after church chatting to someone and someone comes up and instead of giving you appropriate distance, they come right here. Everyone know, don't look to your left or to your right, but everyone knows someone like this. And you start talking to them and they're right here, right next to you. And you start, oh, that's awesome. How's your week been? And before the conversation's finished, you're like, oh, awesome. How's the family? How are the kids going? And what's going? Because they're literally right here. And you end up being all the way over here. You started the conversation over here. They're a close talker. You think, I don't want to smell what you had for breakfast, what coffee you had, but they're so close to you that you can. See, who knows that God doesn't mind invading your space? He's a close talker. He doesn't want to be at the other side of the room from you where you can't hear his voice clearly. He wants you to draw near to him. Because God is a whisperer in Scripture. He said to Elijah in the Old Testament, I'm not in the fire, I'm not in the wind, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm in the still small voice. If you want to hear a whisper, you have to, if someone's on the other side of the room and they whisper to me, I won't be able to hear it from here. I have to draw closer to them to be able to hear that voice. See, Moses is coming closer and now he can hear the voice of God. See, when God saw Moses pursuing his presence, God began to speak. I was reading the Bible a few weeks ago, and in Exodus 33, verse 11, this verse leapt out at me. And Joshua obviously took on from Moses as the leader of the nation. And it says in Exodus 33, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And I've heard that preached on a lot, and I think that's amazing. I want to have that kind of relationship with God. But this part really jumped out at me. It says, then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And I thought to myself, I wonder if God chose Joshua to be the leader of the nation, not just because he was strategic, not just because he was from the right background, the right family, or he had enough intelligence or understanding to lead the people of God. But I wonder if God looked at him and saw someone that was willing to linger in the presence of God. That when everyone left church on a Sunday morning, there was some young people that said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay behind in the presence of God. I'm going to linger behind in the presence of God because I want to listen to the voice of God. I don't just want to move on. I want to listen to the whisper of God. The first thing you need to do if you want to live a life surrendered to God is listen to the whisper. The second thing you need to do is cultivate a hunger. Cultivate a hunger. Practically, how do you do that? Well, you read His Word. You know this. You get a Bible reading plan. You spend time in prayer. You surround yourself with other hungry people. Who knows that when you come to the house of God, what happens to you is you get around other people that are hungry for the things of God. And you start to cultivate a hunger for yourself for the things of God. God wants us to cultivate a hunger for the secret place. See, many years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in England. One of my friends is a pastor over there. And I was going to preach on a Sunday morning. And he said, Jesse, after the Sunday morning service, I'm going to take you to an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet. And I said, I'm in heaven. Like, this is going to be the best day of my life. Like, straight after I eat that, I'm happy to go to heaven. That's enough for me. And I had the privilege to preach the word. And then he took me to an all-you-can-eat. I didn't even know it existed. All-you-can-eat and Indian together. This is going to be absolutely incredible. And I thought, when I get there, I'm going to eat this place, like, I'm going to eat everything in the whole place. They're not going to have enough food in here. I don't know how they still pay the bills when they have an all-you-can-eat Indian restaurant. And I look like I'm a skinny guy, but I'm one of those skinny people that can eat a lot. Do you know those people? So I'm going to this restaurant, and I think to myself, I'm going to have more naan bread than you can imagine. I'm going to have chicken tikka, biryani. Everything is going to be incredible. So I get there, and I'm eating as much food as I possibly can, like every type of naan, dal, biryani, all the good stuff, and it keeps coming out, and I keep ordering more and more and more, and I get so full that you know, you should have worn stretchy pants to go to one of those places, but I didn't have stretchy pants on. And I'm trying to have as much food as possible. And eventually I say to my friend, I say, that's it. I have to stop eating. I'm going to roll out of this place if I eat any more food. And I was so unbelievably full, I couldn't move. But the truth is this. In the natural, when you eat, you get full. But in the spirit, when you eat, you get hungry. So when you eat food in the natural and you eat so much, your body gets so full you can't put any more in. But in the spirit, what happens is this. When you eat of his word, when you drink of his presence, what actually happens is you get more hungry for the things of God. You get a desire for the things of God where you long to be in the presence of God. You want to open the word of God. It's not a chore anymore, but you desire the things of God more than anything else in your life. Does anyone else want to cultivate a hunger for God where it's not a chore to come to the house of God? It's not a chore to open the word of God, but it's a privilege to do it. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone passionate and on fire for the things of God in my life. See, it might not happen the first day or the second day, but this is the truth, is God has laid a banquet for you, a buffet table of food for you. And I wonder if God today is asking you, would you come and sit down and eat and drink of my presence? And sometimes we walk past the things of God because we're preoccupied, but God wants us to stop for a minute and sit down and drink and eat so we can be nourished with the things of God. See, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but you, when you pray, doesn't say if you pray, just for us Christians, just so we read that again. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, everyone say, shut the door. Shut the door. See, what we need to do, sometimes we need to close the door. We need to put away distraction and say, God, I want time with you. See, it says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. But I thought God was in church. Of course he's in church, but he's in the secret place. But I thought God was in heaven. Of course he's in heaven, but he's in the secret place. And I want to encourage you today, if you want to cultivate a hunger for the things of God, give God a time and a place in your life. Maybe that area of your life is the first thing to go when things get busy, but we need to come back to a place where we say, God, I'm going to cultivate a hunger for you afresh again. Do you believe that in Jesus' name? A third thing, if you want to live a life fully surrendered, the first is you need to listen to the whisper. The second is you need to cultivate a hunger. And the third is you need to allow God to shape you. You need to allow God to shape you. And the best way to explain this is through the potter and the clay. And I wish I could have had someone making a clay pot up here and have a potter's wheel, but I didn't have enough budget to do that. But I do have kids and I have Play-Doh. So that's as good as you're going to get today online or in the room. And I want to read you this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. And it should come up on the screen. And it says this. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. See, this Play-Doh up here is a little bit like our lives in the hands of God. And God is the one in control, shaping and molding us. And God, who knows, maybe this year this has happened to you, but God likes to press on areas of your life. Does anyone ever feel that? Is anyone going to be honest in the room or online today? And when God likes to squeeze you, and he likes to mold you, and he likes to stretch you, and we think, no, God, I just want to sit over there on my own. But God goes, no, I'm going to continually work on your heart and work on your life. And the clay must remain soft and pliable in the hands of God. What does that mean for a Christian? That means that your life and your heart needs to remain soft. The last thing you want to do is come to church and have a hard heart. Not many amens to that one. Last thing you want to do is come in, to be walking with God for years and years and years, but your heart is getting harder. And your love for people is kind of getting less and less, and you're getting more annoyed with people. But I think God today would want to remind you, if you want to be fully surrendered to God, to be someone that says, God, I want my heart to be soft and tender before you. I don't want to be a professional Christian. I want to be a passionate Christian. I want to be someone that is in love with you, that has a tender heart, that when you move this way, I will move with you. That when the potter moves the clay this way, that it moves with God. Here's the last thing you want to do if you're clay. Watch this. The last thing you want is for God to do this to you. That's the last thing you want. In Psalm 51, David sinned towards God, and David said this. He said, God, whatever you do, Jesse's paraphrase, whatever you do, don't take your presence from me. Don't take it. What was he saying? Don't take your hands off my life. Keep molding me. Keep shaping me. And even though the pruning hurts, it's better than the blessings of this world. Even though sometimes when God challenges me and challenges you and asks us and convicts us by the Holy Spirit, it's better than the blessings of this world. Because what God is doing in your life is better for you than what anyone else can do. It's better for your future. It's better for your family. That you would be someone that says, God, I want you to continually shape my life. And it says in that scripture, it says that it seemed good to the potter. That means that I'm not in control of my own life. I don't call all the shots. It's not on my terms. It's on God's terms. That he can make me and shape me into a vessel of his use and his glory, not just my own benefit. And oftentimes God will ask us to do things and we think, God, I don't want to hear that. But God wants to continually shape us to be a vessel of beautiful use for him. That we would reach this community, that we would reach this society. I want to tell you one more time, if you want to live a life fully surrendered to God, you need to allow him to continually shape your life. If I can invite the worship team to come up, the fourth and final one. The first one is listen to the whisper. The second thing is to cultivate a hunger. The third is to allow God to shape your life and mold you. And the fourth and final one is this. If you want to live a life surrendered to God, it requires a response. See, I've known many people in my life who've had the most incredible prophetic words. Like someone would prophesy over them as like, they're going to be Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, and all these people. And I'm just standing there going, this is crazy. Wow. But what happens is oftentimes later in life, I can meet them and I think, the prophetic word and what God had for them was different than how they're living their life now. See, your life and my life, the most important thing isn't just the call of God or the word, the prophecy over our life. The most important thing is how you respond to it. Are you going to be responsive when God speaks to you? When God asks you to do something, are you going to do it? We can talk a lot. I've come to so many altar calls and I said, God, I'll do whatever you want. And then God looks and he wants to use people. He's looking across Canberra. He's looking for people that would be useful vessels for him. You don't have to be the most intelligent. You don't have to have the right family background. You don't have to have it all together, but you do have to respond. If you want to live fully surrendered, you need to respond to the voice of God. Who knows that God is low on details, but high on obedience? Low on details. You need to hear that. God's low on details. I go, God, I'll do whatever you want. Just tell me, you know. I want to have a look at everything you want, you know, next year, the year. God goes, no deal. I'm like, no way, I'm not going to. God's low on details. He won't tell you everything, but he's high on obedience. He requires a response in faith. When we can't see the future, when we can't see what's next, he requires a response in faith from us. I remember being at a conference in KL. Before I pray for you, I'll just tell you this story. In a conference in KL with 3,000 people in the room. I think my wife and I were on the fifth row. And it was a prophet speaking, and his name was Dr. Michael Maiden. Who knows that when a prophet speaks, like when you're driving to the meeting, you're praying the whole way, like, God, I'm sorry for kicking the cat. I'm sorry for what I said to my kids. Does anyone else do that? Just me. Okay. So we went to this meeting. We're on the fifth row, and lo and behold, 3,000 people in the room. He calls us out the front. I was like praying the whole way down again. So we get out the front in front of this huge conference of people, and we're standing there, and he goes to pray for us. And who knows, when someone's going to pray for you, you want to act really spiritual. You know what I'm talking about? And he gives us this prophetic word, and he starts and he counts. And he goes, one. And we're there looking and going, it's like two, three. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I receive three. I'm like, we're confused, but we're acting like, yes, we want. And he gets four, five, six, seven. And he gets all the way to 16 and he stops. And he says, I've got to be careful. He says, God asked 16 other people to do what you're doing in Thailand, and you're the first people to say yes. And I don't tell you that story so that you can give my wife and I a hand clap. I tell you that story because of this. Your responsiveness to God will make you useful for the kingdom of God. Your willingness to say, God, I don't care if no one else in this room responds to you, I'll respond to you. I'll be the one that says, I want to live a life fully surrendered to God. You know, in the Bible, in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And some of us have accepted the call to full surrender, but have taken control back of our lives. Somewhere along the line, we've taken control back. D.L. Moody said, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar.